Okay. Brother Dwayne, peace. How are you, brother? Let's see here. Who else we have? Peace, Sister Rhonda. How are you?
Well, how are you?
Okay. I think I'm going to, so no one is making any loud noises. I think I'm going to leave the line open and let us, you know, kind of like have like a free, open talking thing for everyone who's on the call now. I told everyone earlier that I'm feeling a little under the weather, so I'm going to let Brother George do his thing, and I'll just, you know, play the background. So what we're doing is we're looking at that member engagement part two, which was the sheet that we were working on last week, and where we left off, if I recall. So everyone was speaking about how do they identify themselves, whether it's Black, African American, and things like that, and I think that pretty much brings us up to speed. So, Brother George, you wanna you know, take the floor? Hello, Brother George.
I'm sorry, I had myself on mute. Sorry about that. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hold on. Actually, you know what? Let me hold on one second. Okay, good, brother.
All right, everybody can hear me?
Yeah, everyone can hear you.
Okay. Just to go back to a reminder of our template that we started with, the definition of culture, the totality of the pattern of behavior of a particular group of people that makes it distinct from any other group of people. That's just kind of the framework that we want to put this in, because that's what we want to establish for Black Wallets Matter. Last week, it was really enlightening. Every time I do this exercise, I just get more enlightenment in terms of how people think and interpret words such as Black, words such as African American, words such as American when it comes to identity. And there were some positive aspects to Black. However, there were a lot of I'm not sure about Black, you know, because Black is an emotionally loaded word, and it's typically not a gray area. You're either all the way in or you're all the way out. And then not very many of us really connected emotionally or in a resonating manner with the African part of African American. We know it's there. We know that that's where our DNA may originate from, but we don't really emotionally connect with that. And so now none of these things are right, wrong, good or bad, but it does matter in terms of if we're using the word Black as our identity for this group, what does that really mean? If you notice in the download, in the handout, in the assignment, there's an image of five groups. For anybody who's really taken a look at that image, just tell me how those images strike you. What do you agree with, or what do you disagree with? What did you know, or what did you not know? And anybody feel free to jump in.
Anyone has any, so we're looking at the cultural identity assessment. If anyone has anything they want to weigh in on, star six. Okay, cool. Brother Dwayne. Yes, brother.
Yeah, what I've noticed is I can't relate to none of those images.
The Caucasoid, Mongoloid, Capoid, Congoid, Ossoid, right?
Correct. Got nothing related to me.
So.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing too.
Right.
But okay. Now maybe the Australoid, maybe a little bit. I don't know.
Now I can't relate to none of those images. That's the bottom line.
Right, right. So those names, what do those names refer to? How do you interpret those names? Caucasoid, Mongoloid, Capeoid, Congoid, Australoid. How do you interpret those categories?
I mean, I haven't studied the authors of them, the scientists who created those words and things of that nature.
That's okay. You don't have to be.
But I know the name Caucasian is not even dealing with necessarily Europeans. It's dealing with brown people. If you look up the definition or the etymology of root of Caucasian, it's not even dealing with the what I call the grafted man and stuff.
Okay.
You said the grafted man salute. Another salute. Okay.
All right. And so if none of those images relate, because those are all agreed upon, researched categories of human species, where do you think you fall in that scale?
I mean, that's like, I'm not even putting myself in that scale. I don't know, like, what are they saying about these people, these images?
Right.
I mean, those seem like some old troglodyte images.
Okay.
And I can't relate to that. I wouldn't even say they're pre-Adamic images. I just don't know I know there's some tribes of people. But again, that's why I can't even roll with the term black, because it's not dealing with your origins, where you're biologically come from and things of that nature. It's non-scientific. The term black is not scientific. When you clump everybody into the black thing, if you really look at somebody high yellow when they're calling themselves black, it don't make any sense.
Right.
It's not scientific. It's not anthropologically correct as an interpretation. So I'm really in search of because our culture has been destroyed, basically. Mm-hmm. We're like in the rebuilding. We're in the process of rebuilding and resurrecting ourselves. And we're just the original people. We're just a totally new people on the planet. That's how I'm looking at it. We're basically the original people. And we need different knowledge than everybody else on this planet, because mostly everybody else have a land mass and a culture to identify with. We're totally new people.
Ah, that was key, what you just said. Say that one more time.
We are new people.
Most everybody.
We're
most
original everybody people.
And most everybody has what?
They're tied to a land mass and they tie to a culture.
Right, right. Very good observation. Okay. All right. Anybody else?
All right. We got a few people in there. Sister Maya, I guess her phone hung up, but yeah, we got a few people in the queue. Thank you, Brother Dwayne. All right. Brother Leonard.
Yeah, first of all, I think, can everybody hear me? Am I good?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Brother.
Okay, good. I think this is an excellent study that we're doing right now. Now, me personally speaking, and I kind of know where you're coming from with this, I'm more of a Caploid because most of my family members, because our genes are somewhat strong, we have high foreheads, okay, and our faces are kind of narrow. So, yes, the brother before was absolutely correct. We are new people, but we know that because the slave master mixed with us. Many of us are mixed with Indians and other different ethnic groups. So quite naturally, through the different generations, we're going to change a little bit. But I don't know no black person got skinny lips. Anybody in here know a black person don't have big lips? I mean, raise your hand. Okay. So
I don't have big lips. I mean, I don't got small. I don't got little thin white people lips, but I got.
But you got a set of lips.
Like,
you don't have to put that on your list to show you got lips, right? So I understand. I understand where he's coming from, but that's what I would say. And then the one that's a Congoid, you know, it's funny. I don't know if they're supposed to be from the Congo, but if I was to say who looks closest like a gorilla, I would say that particular set of creatures, you know, because it says Congoid. But but for me, I would be the Caploid as far as my genes are. I'm like the brother before. I don't necessarily identify with it, but when you break down where you came from, you know you didn't come from Asia. You know you didn't come from Europe. You know you didn't come from Mexico. So the closest place you're going to come from is Africa. So in our looks, and those that are high yellow, we already know that they're mixed with white folks a little bit, unless there's a red bone. But anyway, I think this is an excellent, not necessarily program, but a skit for us to go through. I really admire it. I really do.
Yeah, exercise. Yeah, the exercise.
Exercise. Yeah, it's a very good exercise. And I'm going to jump back in after other people talk. But that's I just want to let other people talk.
Thank you, brother.
All right, cool.
I appreciate
that. Mm-hmm. Sister Rhonda. Sister Rhonda?
Yes.
How you doing, sister?
All right. I was listening. I was playing music in my head. I'm sorry. I have a long day. I'm sorry, and I was listening to music before I called. Brother George asked about identifying with these five groups. Was that the question? I'm sorry.
Not necessarily identifying with the groups. I just wanted to know how these images hit you, how the names, the categories, what were the things that jumped out at you when you looked at it?
To be real truthful with you, nothing jumped out at me. They were just names to me. If that seems weird, I'm just that way. No, it didn't apply to me, so I let it fly. When it don't apply, let it fly. I'm not going to concern myself. No, at this very point, I can't concern myself with these other people doing what they want to do. I know what we have to do, and the thing is that we have to get on task. So I say that to say, well, my uncle married, he divorced his black American wife, one of my uncles, and married a Japanese lady, so she was incorporated in the family. My aunt married a Puerto Rican. So I'm not looking at that in a way. I'm looking at where I fit for my race. I'm not looking at these other people in that manner. Because I know they exist. I know what they can do. But they're not, and I don't want to sound crash.
So, okay. Quick question.
They're not important.
You said you're concerned. You said you're concerned for where you fit in your race. So these categories on this image, do you consider these racial categories? Even though they don't relate to you, do you consider these race categories?
If race defines people... Now, I can say they're a group of people, a race. Okay, I'll give that to you. But they're not.
I'm not asking you to give me anything. I want to know what you honestly think. When you say you're concerned for your race, in these images, do you consider these categories categories of race or categories of culture?
Well,
Or do you think there's a difference? Do you think they're both the same?
I think they could possibly. Well, I think they could be both the same. I think this is what I'm thinking now. Since you asked me, and I'm thinking about it, because I saw the words last week or whatever, and
right.
coming through life, I never identified like that. I remember one of my brothers drawing a picture of the red man, the white man, the yellow man, the brown man, and he just drew it from his head. And we were talking, we wasn't even talking, we were thinking about things, community and stuff like that, and he drew this fantastic picture. And I was like, Stevie, why are you doing it? He said, no, I'm just trying to figure out how people can live in the world together in peace and all that. And I'm like, I'm not thinking about people living. I'm thinking about what we need to do. I think we were young, too. And I respect what, you know, I respect them, but now it's a point in time where respect has to come on to us, black people. And that's where I'm at, really. I really am at that. I know what they do. And as far as them being a race or people or culture or whatever, I know most of their cultures because, like I said, coming from a diverse community and a diverse family, I know what they do. So it's not, it's kind of iffy, but I stand with black. I'll stand with black any day.
Okay, so let me read this thing about the definition of race.
Okay.
And I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it. You don't have to agree or disagree with it. Just take it for the premise, because you're free to think what you want to think. But let me read this real quick.
Okay.
Race is a false classification of people that is not based on any real or accurate biological or scientific truth. In other words, the distinction we make between races has nothing to do with science or genetics. Race is a political construction created by people, constructed for a political purpose. And the primary purpose is to legitimize the dominance of white people over non-white people. So when I read that, how does that hit you?
It hits me well because I've written about white supremacy. I've written about stuff like that. And I think this is accurate. I've written about stuff like that. And I think, you know, this is it. This is really it. Because I remember being in the fifth grade and being bussed out to another school. And that's when it really hit me that something is wrong here. I didn't know what it was at the time. I said, because why do we have to go to their school? I don't care if they're white. They could come over here where we at. We have everybody over here, so why come they can't come over here? Our schools wasn't faulty or anything. So it hit me then, but the complete picture didn't come together until I got older.
Mm-hmm. So, if that's the case,
we got a bunch of people in the queue just to give you a heads up. No, I'm just giving you a heads up. We got, like, everybody is participating.
Okay. So let's just everybody keep in mind that definition of race that I said, and I'll come back to that. And Sister Rhonda, we appreciate your input.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Okay. All right. Brother Ty.
Hello?
Yep.
Hey, brother. So I guess you all mentioned earlier about what they look like. And I guess I determined that they're all like location or regional based.
Okay.
It seems like the four below seems to sound more jungle-ish, but outside of that, that's what I saw to be the same within the four images. With regards to me, from the looks and sounds of it, it seems I'd be more Congoid, considering the tightly curled black hair, but considering I have bloods from outside the United States, it's hard to say definitively, so I could be mixed with any of them. But I wouldn't really necessarily call them races. There's some like more of geographic or ethnic backgrounds, just
because
we've been speaking on tonight, so...
So you see the regional connection to these names, correct?
Correct. Congo, Mongo,
gotcha.
Asta, I suppose.
Okay. Okay. All right. Very good. Okay.
Next we have Sister Shauna. Sister Shauna.
Hey, brothers and sisters.
Hey, sisters.
I apologize if I sound a little slow. I'm a little under the weather, and I'm kind of on, you know, 50 shades of all kinds of drugs. So bear with me. I'm trying to support, you know, Black Wall.
Take one for the team.
I'm taking one for the team. But this, but I've really taken what you're doing quite seriously, and not just, you know, throwing this up in the air and just going, yeah, this is what I believe, and I'm going to stand firm in it. I actually came into this conversation with an extremely open mind, and I will say awesome. That the last conversation we had, you actually, the conversation actually changed my mind. It changed my whole thought process. And it made me look at things and listen to things just a little bit different. When I looked at those four or five categories, and I apologize, like I said, I'm a little loopy, and I'm not looking at the images right now. I'm going off of That's what right. I looked at before. Mm-hmm. The first thing I did was like like the brother said, you know, I saw Congoloid. Like, I'd never seen that word before, but I recognized the word Congo and Caucasoid. I recognized Caucasian. So I didn't really look at the faces first. I looked at the names and kind of thought, okay, these are groups of types of people. And then I looked at the face. And the first thing I thought of was tribes. Like, I saw tribes of people, tribes of different types of people. That's what I saw first. And quite, if I had to be honest, I would say that I felt like I couldn't see me. Like I didn't see myself in any of that. I was searching even for features, you know, and I couldn't find any features of myself. My family, my family's family, I couldn't find any of it in that. so if I had to be honest with it, see, here's the thing about Black to me, and if I would ask every brother and sister on this line to come into this conversation with an open mind, meaning that you're willing to accept that your way of thinking is not the only way when I say this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I had to do that in order to accept that my way of thinking may be a little, you know, biased based on what I was taught and learned over the years of my life and not necessarily something that I studied and went out and looked for. Okay. The word to me, Black, African American, to me just says it. To me, it's like the true meaning of revelation, like the awakening, is the journey of truly figuring out who and what we're supposed to be. Like, who are we? What, and if you subscribe to the higher being, whether it be a scientific or a spiritual journey, and if it was meant to be in some kind of way, like, what are we meant to be? Because truly everybody on this phone, regardless of how we feel, are in search of something. We're looking for something. We don't know what it is. We just know there's something that we want to connect to, but we don't know what to connect to. You know, the old way was the old way. The new way feels too new. I mean, y'all going too far. Right? Yep.
Yeah.
Y'all go to that store outside. Right, you know, the old way, you know, I'm not with this bondage, yeah. Right? I'm not with this bondage of the old way and singing, humming, but, you know, this new
right.
way, too. Y'all, you know, y'all millennials that went too damn far. Y'all ain't got no respect, and, you know.
Yeah,
so
right.
So we're searching for that space in between that encompasses the pride, the respect, the endurance. The willingness to do whatever it takes to survive, to live,
yeah.
All of the things that make up Black African American. And so I found out that that's what I connected to in the history of our lives. Like it makes me proud to know that I come from a group of people that were able to not only endure and survive, but to remake themselves into a whole different psychological place that they're trying to find a new psychology.
Okay.
That's how, that's truly what I feel about it.
I like how you said that.
Thank you, brother. That's truly how I feel about it. And I just, I was talking to my daughter, and I promise you I'm wrapping up. I was talking to my daughter, talking to my children. I try to get them to watch, and I just can't get them to watch, you know, historical movies and stuff unless it's Black Panther, okay? But my daughter said something to me. I told her I wanted her to watch one episode. On the Underground, and it was a monologue of Harriet Tubman. And I just wanted her to watch it, and her response to me was, Mom, I don't want to watch no Negroes being whipped.
Wow.
Right? I can't,
yeah.
But that's why they feel disconnected from the history, because they see it as weakness, the bondage of weakness. They don't see what type of strength it must have took to overcome that. So, you know, I'm going to stop now because I feel my loopiness, like my mind is losing it. But I hope I made sense, and I hope I was able to get another brother or sister to be willing to understand that we are connected to our past. We are connected to our present. And the only way we're going to connect in the future is if we tie what we were, what we are, and decide on who we will become.
Go on, girl.
Drop the mic.
Yeah, that's deep. All right. I like you when you're on drugs.
Oh, you deep, bro.
All right. All right.
All right. Thank you, sister.
Okay.
Yeah. Peace. All right. Brother Cujo.
Hello.
Peace, brother.
Peace, brother. Yeah, as far as those the pictures or the images that are setting up there. Hello?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we have.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't know if I hit a bad spot. Anyway, with those images that's sitting up there, I have studied those type of things before, and I know the origin of where they come from, and some of the stuff has kind of changed over the years. But I mean, just looking at it, I see some facets of the features that's in all of them. I see that in our culture.
Okay.
And I mean, our culture is vast, and the when they make these type of studies, it's not all inclusive.
Right.
I mean, you can get an idea of the region or some of the people, but it's just not all inclusive, and some of this stuff just haven't been like an extensive study, like really to explain us like that. That would take more of our own personal research. I mean, like people, and we haven't had but a few real archaeologists that have had the more anthropologists, are both archaeologists and anthropologists that have done a lot of in-depth studies. I mean, you got like the main one, Sheikh Anta Diop, which we get a lot of information from. But the way that we perceive these things off of the information that's given, we just not given the full breadth of what's actually available. And right. The way we understand the different tribes that come from Africa and stuff like that, just like the ones that's up here, the Australoid, Mongoloid, or any of the ones that's on here, it's just a little bit more vast than that. Because just like with the Akan people from West Africa, I mean, Akan could be likened to like a nation or a kingdom at one point, and there's many tribes within that kingdom. You know, and they might, and within those different tribes, they're going to have different prominent features. But I think one of the important things to focus on, especially as it pertains to us in modern times, and I know we're having this focus on the idea of black or us associating with black. A lot of us had different things to say about it, and a lot of people didn't necessarily identify plainly with it to say, hey, I'm black. But a lot of people did. Right. But what we can all understand is, at least from a social perspective, we know what we're talking about when we say black.
Are you sure we know? Okay, do we know what we're talking about in terms of what it means or in terms of identity?
I mean, at least to a point where we can generalize and everybody understands and socially accepts that we're black. Everybody has a degree of familiarity with this term, whether somebody else first started calling this, at some point we accepted it. At least we know the people that we're talking about when we say black.
Well, let me run this by you real quick. I did a workshop last weekend, and in the workshop there was a young lady from Nigeria who initially spent her time in London before she came to America. And she said it wasn't until she came to America that she learned she was black. Because prior to coming to America, she was never referred to as black. She was only referred to as Nigerian. How does that hit you when you hear something like that?
It hit me like, she know who we talking about when we say black now too, since she here in America.
Okay. Well, you're right. I guess she had to learn, huh?
That's
crazy, man. I'm sitting here with my mouth wide open, like, wow. Because, and I'm sorry for jumping in, but I'm just thinking.
No, go ahead,
like,
brother.
I'm saying to Brother Cujo. I'm just like blown away of how thorough and complete they are trying to do how thorough and complete white supremacy, the job that they're doing to have us, like, they try to impress the ideals that they have here in America. They try to impress that all throughout the world, and it's crazy because, some other people, they just don't identify with it. But us as black people here in America, we go and we see an African, we see someone, because they know where they're coming from, because they know what country they're from, they don't need to identify themselves as just some vague, homogenous term, black. They can say, I'm Nigerian. They can say, I'm, from Ghana. They can say, I'm Ethiopian and things like that. It just blew my mind when you just said that, man. I'm sorry.
At a point, though, even that is not like the original culture to say, for an African to say they're Nigerian and stuff like that. Because, I mean, these are cultural boundaries that they didn't set up. They were forced into that. And that's why I mean, if we study anything about African history, we would know that that's where a lot of the civil wars come from in the countries, because there were people from different cultural backgrounds fighting over a particular area or how things would be run in a society because they have different cultures.
So let me make sure I'm understanding.
They didn't define the boundaries.
Let me make sure I'm understanding you correctly. You're saying that an African who defines himself as Nigerian, they did not create that boundary. Someone else created for them.
Yeah.
You sure about that?
That was created through colonialism.
Because they used to identify themselves as their tribes, right? That's it, right? Just by their tribes, right?
Yeah.
And so colonialism came in. I guess we got everybody's in the queue.
So Brother Kujo, the one last question, Brother Kujo. So black people in Africa initially referred to themselves as black as far as you see it?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
Is there anything you want to add, brother?
No, I mean, no. I just think that it's easy for us to focus on that because it's easier for us to put the focus on that. It don't necessarily have to be our cultural background, you know, because technically it's not. But it's something that's become socially acceptable. And with us being creatures of habit, man, it would take forever to try to get everybody probably more time than we would want to spend with defining the name. What are we? Who are we? And everybody trying to find out what tribe they was from. Man, it's socially acceptable. We can call us. We can be represented as a black organization. We all know who we're talking about, and we don't have to focus on the differences. I mean, everybody already accepts that to some degree and understands who we're talking about when we say black. There ain't no sense in going back and forth about our individual cultural heritage and wondering
what tribe
we're from.
So let me ask you this, and based on your opinion on that, do you feel that as a black community that we're all operating on that same level of understanding in a collective manner?
I think so. I don't think there's nobody that can, or anybody. I don't believe in it. Like we talked about the other in the other meeting. I don't necessarily identify saying that I don't like the term. I know where it comes from. But for the sake of social cohesion with people of my culture, it makes sense to do that opposed to wasting time trying to redefine something that we have spent eons trying to convince everybody to accept.
Do you believe that as a black community, we are competing at just as high a rate of effectiveness as the other communities?
Oh wait, bro, we got a lot of people. You that's a
okay. I just think that if we have a collective understanding, we share a common ground. And as far as my understanding goes, that's the whole purpose of us doing this, to develop a common ground so we can move cohesively.
Gotcha.
All right. Thank you, Brother Kujo.
No doubt.
Okay. Next we got Sister Kim. Sister Kim.
Peace, sister.
Good evening, peace, everyone. Hope you get the feeling, brother, feeling well, Brother Lou. I know how that is. I've been battling it myself.
Yeah, that flu, right? That flu moving across the country, man.
Yes, it is. And some people catching double strands. And, yeah, it's terrible. It is terrible. You know, prayers for you. Literally. I was going to say, ooh, it's just getting so good. Brother Cujo just made a point, and Sister Rhonda. But, you know, sitting here thinking about it, it got me off what I was saying. I was trying to make notes. Let me say this. Brother George, my assessment of this, looking over that, I know when I first pulled it off, like, last week, and I was like, what the heck is it? And so, you know, I know some people got some head shape like that, but, you know.
yeah, that's what struck me too, the shape of the head, but I didn't.
You know,
a cultural thing that we do by shaping our kids' heads.
Right.
But some of us just got a little too much knowledge. But, but I was noticing on here, like, from, I guess, by generation, I noticed how scientifically they change it, you know. And I guess what I was saying about hitting on Brother Cujo and Sister Rhonda, taking both of those points in to view, it's a matter to keep us confused. As long as we're confused by race, you know what I mean, and color, what am I, who am I, where I come from, and this and another. You know, it takes off everything else, and everybody else just moving along, and we still at the starting gate, you know.
Good point.
But I noticed what isn't on here, because when I was younger and learning and looking at science and encyclopedias, Negroid isn't on here. They got all of these other ones, and even if you pull it up, Negroid isn't on there. So to me, it's like.
She said Negroid.
She went there, bro. She went there.
Yeah, I know.
But then, if you go back and you look it up, it was in there of the cultural identities. You know, and they spoke to me, it's like we slowly being erased. You know what I mean? And that plays into society trying to, like you said, when you read off the definition of race.
Right.
That's really what it is. It's not, like I was saying before, if we cut, we all going to bleed the same color blood. When that air hit it, it's going to be the same color. You get your head busted to the white meat, same color. But, you know, it's a matter of if we're caught up in cultural identities and crisis, you know, we're busy with that. And we're not really focusing on, you know, coming together and such. What we better focus on is anything non-white. That's what we better focus on. You know,
that used to be the focus. Back, I want to say, like, in the 80s and the 90s when I was coming up, it was just, like, everything non-white. It was like, we all brothers, we all this. We just got left behind so far, man. Oh, my God.
Yeah, because, you know, it's so easy. Look how they're so caught up and busy with politics on, you know, boxing all this false information being put out there. You know, and once a lie is put out there, it's hard to bring it back. You know, it has so many tentacles attached to it. You know, it was like a game I used to play with my kids. I tell one thing and bring it around just to show them how easy gossip and lies and different things, or it's easy for you to get caught up and believe secondhand information. You better research and learn stuff for yourself.
You raised a great observation about the term Negroid not being in there. So let me read you something, and then you tell me how this hits you. Negro,
is an archaic term traditionally used to denote persons considered to be of Negroid heritage.
Mm-hmm.
The term can be construed as offensive, largely depending on the region where it is used. Around 1442, it was originated by Portuguese who arrived in southern Africa. The term Negro, literally meaning black, was used by the Spanish and Portuguese as a simple description to refer to the people they encountered. Negro denotes black in Spanish and Portuguese, derived from the Latin word Niger, N-I-G-E-R, so you wasn't too far off in your definition or your pronunciation, mm-hmm. meaning black, which itself is probably from a Proto-Indo-European root. So basically what that's saying is that it was created by Hispanics in describing people in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you hear that, what does that make you think?
What does it make me think?
Yeah.
To separate. That's the first thing that comes to my mind, to separate. Because even though it may have Latin roots, it's still separating from, you know, something else, set apart. Now, that's just my honest opinion.
No, it's good. That's good. Does that mean, so that means that somebody created that term for us, correct?
Exactly. Exactly. Because, you know, when I pulled it up and when I went back, because when I was looking over it, I said, wait a minute, something I'm missing in here. And there's different, because I got like N-E-G-R-O-I-D. So if it's okay. The adjective is denoting, relating to, or belonging to a darker complexion, supposed
right.
racial group or mankind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this group includes the indigenous peoples of Africa south of the Sahara, their descendants elsewhere, and some Malaysian people. As a noun, it's a member of this racial group.
Very good. That's it. Okay. You're on the same
so,
thing.
You know, yeah, that's the rest of the reason why I had to go back and look. So, yeah, and then I have, like, the 1844, so it has hybrid of Negro with a Greek
right.
suffix. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then for the usage of as a noun is the word Negroid and other words ending in or, you know, that's relating to a racial group. So it's still, to me, it's made up to separate, you know,
right.
And how they do in society. You know, you got the census. On the census, you got white, black, brown, Indian, Mexican. If you're Indian and you lived on a reservation, you know, that's even on different things that you apply for. You know, they throw that up in there. I grew up, and I'm not going to stay on the line too long. I grew up with a girl when I was young, and it blew my mind because her grandmother was Panamanian. She didn't speak a lick of English. But my friend girl Wendy, they were from New York, and she had a funny, you know, accent, but I was like, girl, I ain't never met a black girl that could speak Spanish like that. You know, and that just blew my mind. But her grandmother didn't see them as black. You know, her
wow.
people, and I'm like, exactly. So when you said that about the young lady that's Nigerian, it's a lot of them. And see, that's another division that they bring to us.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of them that don't see themselves as black, and they frown upon us. And they darker
mm-hmm.
than we are, you know, a lot of us. And it's, you know, it's just how it is, the melting pot. But it's some of them that's really prejudiced against the ones that's here. Don't call me black. What you mean? You purple, baby. But, you know, they'll get offended by that, you know. So, yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I just had to throw that, you know, my 2 cents up in there. I just didn't see it on that list. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't identify with none of these.
I don't
Where's that niggeroid at?
That where that niggeroid at. But a whole lot of us can identify with that one. But like I said, Brother Lou, I hope you feel well. Oh, Brother George, I just got one more question, and this is from this. When you get a chance, I probably text you or something, but I'm so curious to know why is it with the, like, MHMR and people that take them psych medicines, why they got to prescribe it so high and then work it down? It's crazy to me that they prescribe so high and then go come down on the dosage.
Follow the money, baby. Follow the money.
That's what I've always figured. But we'll gravitate about that another time.
Let's talk about that. Sure. Okay.
All right. Brother Lou, I hope you feel better.
Thank you so much.
All righty. Peace and love, brothers and sisters.
Peace, sister.
Peace. Okay. So now we got Brother Dwayne, Brother Leonard. I see you guys. We just have a few more people who are who didn't get a chance to speak yet. So, Sister Ma, I see you kept falling in and out the line. Sister Constance and then Brother Vaughn. Sister Ma. Hello, sister. Oh, man.
Oh, hello?
Yep.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Peace, sister.
Oh, I apologize. Peace. Fortunately, I miss a lot of the dialogue with my commute going through the mountains, so my call keeps dropping a lot. But this has been a really vibrant conversation again. So I'll go back and listen to it in the thing. I'm glad you recorded. How I see myself,
This is the from the cultural identity assessment. Do you find yourself in any of those images?
Right. Okay. AKA that. yeah, what he said. Okay. Not exactly like 90% of the people are saying. Do I really feel like I identify with any of those? I was sort of surprised, honestly, about the definitions and then compared to the pictures. To me, it was just. They didn't really match, in my opinion, how they described them compared to how they looked, again, in my opinion. I did notice that it was more so by region, as it's been stated. I mean, I don't really have anything much different to say than what everybody else. If I had to choose and categorize myself in one of them, I would probably say the Capoid. But more not than yes. But it's just more that one than any of the other ones.
Yeah, and then, it's not a requirement. It's not a requirement that you do.
Okay, but I also wanted to piggyback on the conversations about the African people describing themselves by their region. I don't look at it as a divisive thing because I know several African people from different countries in Africa, and it's in regardless of how it started or from colonization or whatever, they have been for many more generations, I feel, than we have been. Identifying themselves by their region. So it's not a put down. They say that to each other. It's like they don't say I'm African or I'm from the continent or I'm from this country. They just say I'm Nigerian, I'm Ethiopian. Even the islanders are the same way. I'm Haitian, I'm Jamaican, I'm Cape Verdean or whatever. It's not, and then they say Black Americans when they refer to us. And I don't think it's derogatory. It's just that because there are so many different races in America, we separate ourselves. We have that, the divisiveness within our own country. And it's one country as opposed to over there. It's a continent of several countries, but each person from the country, like even white people in South Africa say they're South African. They don't say I'm a white South African. But in America, we separate ourselves. So they say a Black American, like we say African American, they refer to us as Black American or Chinese American or whatever. Like they'll put your original location or race or whatever, how we separate it first and the country second, where then they put their country first because that's what they identify. And I just feel like these definitions that you sent us on this chart or similar. I think that race or whatever we're call, whatever this is considered, the distinctions, I guess is a better word, right, is more so based on region than race or ethnicity necessarily.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
And thank you for your adding your perspective with your experience with your African friends and how they look at it.
Right. But I'm also, I'm sorry, lastly, just kind of an agreement, and it's sort of like what I said last week as well, with Brother Cujo and Sister, I can't remember her name, and I'm still out of the conversation, but I still am in agreement with, like, let's not please get caught up on something like this, you know, and let it keep us from moving forward. Let's just go with kind of whatever it is, whether we just say we're melanated people or we're all brown, define a new race, just brown, period, because there's many shades of brown. You know, like, let's just move on with doing what this group is created to do as opposed to defining what label we're going to have in terms of our skin color. That's just my two cents. Thanks.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Okay, so now we got Sister Constance. Peace, Sister.
Peace. Hello, everyone on the call. Wow. Well, I don't even know where to start. It's so much.
Take it from the top.
As far as the images go, when I look at it, and I don't look at the description, and I don't look at the images of the full face, and when I just look at the skeleton, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is, oh, that's a human skull.
Okay.
So at the base for me is, I mean, I look at it as the human species. I can identify. I know that that's a human. I don't necessarily, looking at the skull, know if they are white, black, or Asian. Me looking at it, I mean, if I had to pick one, I would say Congoid, just because my dad has those two knots. It's like, damn, them two knots on the side. And that's how when I look at my dad's sons, I'm like, yeah, you got them knots on the side. You can't read. If I had to pick one. But for me, I mean, it's they all human at the end of the day. And as far as do I use the term black or African-American, the beginning of the year, the beginning of last year, I'm going to say I would probably – would have said African-American after doing a little bit more reading. I would have to say black American or black. I don't have a problem with the term black. And when we talk about, a sister on the call earlier said, we are new people, because when I say African-American, I have no... I've never been to Africa. I don't know anything about Africa but besides what I've read. I have no connection. I know that's where my ancestors come from, but to say African-American, that can be a white person, like the lady said, just said. I mean, they identify as white. White people identify as Africans as well. So when I hear somebody say black, I know what that means, descendants of slaves. They're not necessarily from Africa, born in Africa, and come to have traveled over here, and now they're African-American. So I do believe that there is a difference in what if you say, are you African-American or black American, I think I will go with the term black.
Okay.
And especially when you go into, if this organization is going to dabble into appointing people to appoint policies specifically for black people,
mm-hmm.
when you put that term African-American, that can be, oh, well, I'm white and I'm from Africa, so I'm African-American. you have to be smart in your language, because mm-hmm. when you say black American, they know what that means. You can't say, oh, well, a white person can't say I'm black.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of it in terms of race, if you want to say.
I never thought of that.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Right now you like dropping like dropping bombs right now. Women in my head. I mean, you really got me ready to just like change sides. Now I'm curious, because last week I was like, nah, African American, but no, she just made a lot of sense,
because it's too broad a term. It's too broad of a representation. Wow. When we talk about what we went through in this country, that is specifically black people.
But
That's heavy.
Yeah. All right, we all black, y'all. That's it. She done said it. We black. And I don't care what you say. You're from here. You're black. You just know because you're right. That is our experience. Yeah. That is our experience that no other colored people can say that we experience on this soil. You are 100% right. That is nobody else's experience. You are 100% correct. Wow.
So, yeah, it's very important when you, especially when you're talking about putting stuff on paper. You know, those words got to be specific, and that's, you know, why they are able to do some of the stuff that they do as far as affirmative action and using that term minority and people of color and all of that stuff. It has to be specifically said, black people. If it ain't for us, we don't want nothing to do with it. I mean, you know.
Right, I get it. And you know what's so crazy? The other thing, too, this definition, you know, so Sister Shauna said we're new people.
Right.
When she was saying it, I'm a little under the weather, so my brain is not firing. My neurons aren't firing as fast as they normally would. But it's you know what? She's 100% right. We're something
we
new.
I mean, we have been stripped from any connection that we had from Africa, from our ancestors.
Yeah.
Everything has been lost. So where do we start? We're starting with, okay, we are already identified in the census as black. Let's roll with that. Okay, we're black. And we need this stuff specifically for black people.
By virtue of the experience that we have here on this land. And here's the other thing, too. I was trying to wait towards the end to say this, but since you dropping bombs. because the craziness, right, because so if you look at the development of all those people, if you look at their skulls, like they said, right, they're developing differently because of where they are, because of their geographical location.
Right.
And so I'm sure that we have developed, right? So that right there, that's a physical difference, but then there's also cultural and all other kinds of things. And because of our location here, because this is where we are located, and we don't know. I guarantee you there has been some physical and physiological changes that we've taken here being on this thing, and we definitely have cultural changes. And we need to embrace it as a collective, as a cohesive thing. And I kind of think we do need to define it. I think we do need to define because it really is something. It's something new and it's something unique. And we really are a representation of a melanated, brown, dark, black, whatever you want to call it. We are the representation of a people who are a darker shade of color from this particular area in North America between this time and this time. We are definitely a unique people. Thank you so much for
before I go, what I want to say is I can't take credit.
I'm just talking about clarifying that for me.
When I said I was doing a little bit more reading, I actually got that and I understood it from this book that I'm reading, and that's Dr. Claude Anderson's new book, A Black History Reader by Dr. Claude Anderson, 101 Questions You Never Thought to Ask. And he put that in terms for me, the way what I just said, he put that, he laid that down for me.
Yeah, that's a good brother right there.
Because we have a different, what we go through, what we've been through is different from
anybody.
Our ancestors in Africa. You know, even how we see poverty, you know, he goes in to break it down far as saying, you know, they see rich black people running stuff per se over there, whereas we are the minority here and control nothing. And really, Africa, they about to lose control. The powers to be all of these other countries and foreigners coming over, taking and stealing.
Yep. Chinese then, building trains.
They building, you know. I mean, it's just so much. So it's like I can't really say African-American. I definitely agree with the term black. And I did have a question. I wonder what the Kemet, what is the Kemet, what was the word for black in their language?
In the Kemetic language?
Yes.
Oh, no idea.
You know, Hebrew, you know, you can say, well, Hebrew or Latin was Negro. I wonder what the term would be.
But do you think they refer to? But do you think they refer to themselves by color in their language?
Probably not. You know, probably not. But just,
yeah,
I mean, some things
because they're all the same color. That's why. And so in them, so they're making cultural, distinction at that
mm-hmm.
level,
mm-hmm.
and tribal distinction. So, all right, we got. Let me see here. We still got a few people in the queue. This is a bond burner, brother. We got Brother Vaughn still waiting, and then we got Brother Dwayne and Brother Leonard. Sister, is there anything else you want to share? A summary?
No. I'm good.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I think you shared enough, sister. You didn't pull it up.
Yeah, this is a good one. Okay, thank you, sister.
No problem.
Brother Vaughn.
Peace, brother. Peace, brother. What's going on? First off, when I look at pictures, and it's crazy because both of us don't identify with these pictures, but scientifically, this is like the original man. Mm. Like, for where they from, like the Caucasian, the Asian, and the original African man, Australian man, like the original, this is what they say they look like and all that stuff. The reason why the Negro man on here is because that's us. And that didn't happen until black men came to America and got all mixed up.
Mm.
Mm. And like y'all was just saying with the last caller, we would have a different skull shape. Everything, like the look of us would be different and all that. And most of, and if you put somebody like one of us on there, we'd identify with it. But this is like scientifically, this is what they say the original man looks like. So that's why we don't see us in that, because we're not that. We are original for here, like y'all was just saying. Like, this is, we like a new person. Like, they made us and constructed and we mixed up with all the others and people from everywhere and all that. And, well, now you got us. And the other brother was saying, like, when you say black, that's what, like, can't nobody else say that.
Right.
Like, and take it for, like, and I hope nobody get offended or nothing like that, but the word nigga, like, back in my day, when you said that, it used to be us, but you can't say that no more. Because even white boys and Mexicans and Italians and, you know what I mean, everybody's a nigga now.
Everybody's
you know what I mean? But when you say black, they can't say that. Like, the white boys and Mexicans and Italians, they can't say that. They can't use that term along with us when we say that. Like, even, and it got to that point, and that's the one that's crazy to me, because I never thought that word, like, the word nigga, get taken from us. You know what I mean? Like, I never thought that somebody else would want to use or be represented with that, and it's in Congress and everything now. Like, it's a problem, you know. But now it's like you can't really just say that and the person know exactly what you're saying, because now it's like, you're talking about the Italian cat over there and Mexican over there, like, you know, or the white boy who dressed like them, or, you know what I mean? We really don't know now. If you say black and all that other stuff is cut out, you know what I mean? You know who you're talking about. And it's the man of color in America, the so-called African man of color in America. And that's it. Nobody else. Even if they mix Italian or something else, if they look more Italian, they gonna take they, you know what I mean, and they gonna tell you where they from and where their people from and all that. Like they said, like the people from Africa, they identify themselves by where they from. And I know a lot of them, and that's just how they are. And they don't. I ain't black. Mm-hmm, I'm Kenyan. You know what I mean? I'm Ethiopian. They know like where they from. We don't. We can't say that. Like, we can't tell you, like, I'm Ohioan, or, you know what I mean? Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so we have to, and it's crazy because this call right here changed my mind on the term black, because I was I'm so serious. I'm totally against that black, because everything about it is negative. And I'm a positive person, and everything about me is positive. So I don't really feel that black and saying I'm black, and I'm not black either. I'm, you know what I mean, really light.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? So it's like, even with that, even as light as I am, when you say black, if I'm around, I know who you're talking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, if I'm the only one of my nature around y'all talking about me. So that I do identify with, and when you do say it, you ain't talking about nobody else. You're talking about nobody else but us, the ones who've been through that and living it now, you know, going through the struggles now. And like they saying, it'll be hard to grasp the minds of others and pull them into what we're trying to do if we change it. Because we have to go with the ones who don't accept it and going through all that. But, I mean, even though it's pushed on us, there's another reason why I don't like the term, because it was made up for us.
Right.
When you break it down, the simplicity of it, it's only us, though. Like, and you look at it, it's only us. And that's how we can identify with just us. And it makes it be just us. Because like she said, you can say African-American, boy, you're going to have a million white folks in there. He's gonna be trying to figure out, like, what is you? Why is y'all over here? Like, I'm from Africa. You know what I mean? I'm just here. Like, yeah, that's who I am. I'm African American. Show your passports and paperwork and everything. You know what I mean? So it's like, we got to be careful with our words, you know, and how we identify ourselves, so it's known that this is about us. And like I said, this conversation right here, if it wasn't for this one, I'm telling you, no, I ain't black. Call me black. I don't do that. I don't like that. I mean, when you look at, like, if you think, like, everything, like, negative, everything is just everything about black, right? All negative. Like, folks don't like black cats. You know what I mean? Like, it's that bad. It's terrible.
Now, see, just to interrupt you on that one point, that is one of the primary reasons why I think this exercise is important.
Right.
Because many people in our community, mostly consciously, but are largely on a subconscious basis, associate many negative things with black.
Right.
And we have to be conscious about that, because here we're leading with a name, black, that is emotionally loaded just like that. So that's important. I really wanted to get that out.
Right. But that's the exact truth to it. Because we are starting with that, but that's what we're gonna have to work on. Because we're gonna have to work to change that from the narrative.
Okay.
Because like you said, we only associate black with negative because that's what America makes black to be. You know what I mean? Like, they give us everything, and everything they say black, they, even the superstitions and everything. Everything about black is negative. So we starting with that. And that's where our
yes
changing and making us be something different we got to make that black be the most positive thing anybody ever heard. Everybody wants to be that now, you know what I mean? But it's an easier way to identify us as a group, who we are, because like I said, these folks be like really, like scientifically, they're going to show you, if you look at these pictures, that's the original man. One Caucasian, one Asian, you got three Africans, though. Look how dominant that is, because it's the original man, really. And if we, like, really look at, like, what that picture is saying, like, for real, like, come on now, we are the ones who can and are needed to make this change. Without us, it's not going to happen. Right. We have to start from there.
This has been one of the most intellectual conversations we have ever had. I'm sending everybody a diploma, some glasses with tape in the middle, and pocket protectors. Because you all are a bunch of nerds. Every single one of y'all. I'm serious. Like, this has been a real intellectual conversation, man. I'm serious, man. We started off with Brother Dwayne talking about the etymology of the.
He set it off, so this has been a ball, brother.
Yeah, this one been real, real serious. I've been like you said, my mouth been open this whole time, like, oh my goodness. Serious about what we talking about. It's we gotta start there. We gotta be that serious about it though, because without like we. It's a long road.
I'm telling you what I think is happening, and I guess like maybe at the end of this call we still got people in the queue, but if we can, I think with Sister Constance, what she just said about specifically what we experience here, if we can put the power to endure the descendants of that of slavery and the American oppression and yet still enduring that's what defined us as black, and we can redefine its meaning. And I'm gonna tell you something crazy, right? Brother Cujo and I was having a conversation kind of sort of about like the same thing, and we were doing like these visualizations. Type we was having like a communication based on visualization, and what we were saying. All right, you think about black and you think about white. A meeting with what I said to him was, when I think of black, man, I think of strong, I think of power, I think of energy radiating from something, and when I think of white, I think of like recessive, right? But then we started talking about how they are calculating and all of that, and I don't want to make the conversation get into that. But I think if we can communicate that strength, that energy, that power, and how it radiates, how we were able to endure, I think our people will once again be able to embrace black and embrace it with pride. Right. I'm telling you, and embrace it with strength instead of all those negative connotations. We all are aware of what the opposition is going to do. We all are aware of the technology. We know how they'll try to change the words around. Well, we're going to flip it back on them. You know what I'm saying? We're going to take this one. We're going to own it, and we're going to make it represent something powerful, because that's exactly what it was. Because only a powerful people would be able to endure what happened and is able to constantly endure what's going on and still succeed and thrive despite the oppression and the injustice and all of this other stuff. So, I'm sorry. I had to just say my little piece because we still got mad people in the queue. So this one is gonna go all the way out, brother. This one is gonna go all the way out. So thank you, Brother Vaughn. Is there anything you want to add in conclusion, brother?
I want to let you know I've do some poetry and things, and I've been doing a little writing based on these conversations we've been having. Together, and when I get it together, I send them to you.
So you've been inspired. Yo, I'm not gonna lie, these calls have been really amazing, man. I'm really the people who aren't coming on these calls, the members that aren't coming on these calls, they're really missing out, because this is This is the bonding exercise of which the. So first of all, let me just tell you that this was all Brother George's idea. He's an evil genius. He wanted us all to bond. I'll tell you what I'm noticing. I'm noticing how you guys are able to recognize other brothers and sisters based on just like their voices and some of the things they're saying. So I'm loving the fact that we're engaging like this. I actually was looking at some software, something that we can implement that will be in the members area, so that way we'll have our own communication channels, and so then that way everyone can interact with one another and do all of this stuff, because I really want everyone to network and to build, especially on things like this, and I really want everyone to embrace. I want us to have that family vibe, because we're becoming a nucleus. We're becoming a very, very strong nucleus, and we're becoming something special. We're really becoming something special, man.
Yep, so, what you want to be able to do with that software and things of that nature, and I can tap into these folks that I deal with, and I'm sure they know already what to do. So,
no, I got it. I'm just trying to figure out how to plug it in with what we already have. Okay. I'm trying to plug it in. All right, that's all. I'm just trying to figure out how to plug it in with what we already have.
Right.
I look forward to reading your work, brother.
No doubt. I'm working on some things. I'm my own worst critic, though. So. But it's going to be about this. So, you know what I mean? I'm sure.
Yes.
I'm going to be some new topics. To try to
get
something. We can get it out, spread it out, something real easy. You can read it in black and white.
No, you can come on the call and you can read it, because all the people who's here, they know it, because it's going to be relevant to us. It's not going to be probably relevant to somebody else, but it's going to be relevant to every last single one of us, because we've been here. So we experienced it.
And when you package it up, we'll be buying it from you.
I got you.
Good. Yeah, we'll support. All right, brother. Thank you.
Right,
so Brother Jeff jumped in the queue, and Brother Jeff didn't get a chance to chime in tonight. Go ahead, Brother Jeff.
Hey, peace. Watch the cone that the brother lose. I had that flu. You don't want none of that. So please do, sir. Like that the best way you can. Because that's a bad boy there. Woo. But like you say, this one is fire. But I'm coming off of Thursday into today, because the way you was at, Brother Lou. But I had a question I was gonna ask you, but it's a little funny question. But this is gonna tie everything together though. But I was gonna ask you, have you ever gave birth before?
Who, me? No.
I haven't either. But if you have or you haven't, to get where we're going with this, we all are going to give birth.
Give birth.
To this, we're going to give birth to this, or what? Like everybody's been saying, this is something totally different.
New.
This black is going to be a child that we're going to conceive. For I don't know how many months we're going to hold it. You know, it's normally 9 months to create a baby, but we're going to birth this one, and we're going to create it. We're going to, we're going to do everything that it takes to, to get where we're going with this. So that's the whole process of it. It's like going to be like nursing a baby. So, and it's going to be new. It's going to be our thing. It's going to start out from nothing to become something. So, and it's going to take all this sprinkling we got going on here tonight. We sprinkling. So it's going to take each and every, like you said, everybody got two hands, and everybody going to mold it. And hey, and when it's birthed, hey,
it'll be
world,
proud.
Here we are.
We'll all be
world,
proud.
Here we
exactly.
are. That's right. Yeah. So that's just my thing on it. Like you said, and the black is it's gonna be a black baby. That's what it is. a black baby.
like Mr. Kim said, baby, you purple.
you blue
black, baby.
That's gonna be the thing. That's it. So that's just all I want to do. But like I said, everybody, hey, it's, like you said, everybody been sprinkling tonight. It's the bomb. It's the bomb.
Yeah.
That's just where I just tied together with all this. And like y'all, like he said, all that other stuff is, like you said, that stuff is regional. But us, there's nobody on the planet like us. So,
Here we are.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much.
Yep.
You got anything else, or you're done?
No, that'll be it. That's it. That's it.
All right. Now we got Brother Dwayne. Brother Dwayne.
Hey, y'all back to me again? Lord have mercy.
Yeah, bro. Thank you for being so patient, man. But you seen everybody. I told you this. It was a live one tonight, brother. And then we got Brother Leonard and Sister Rhonda.
I just want to go into what we are. Black wallets matter.
Okay.
A wallet is an article that you hold identification in. You hold some of your finances in and things of that nature. So studying, we're in a capitalist society. And we're dealing with the topics of race, and we're breaking down the classification of participants in a competitive society based on the race. Race is determined by the census. They do census. They have people, in the beginning of the census, they had people, unqualified people going around knocking door to door, identifying people based on their observation.
Right.
Moving that up to modern day times. As I brought up last week, Federal Directive 15, that's the classification, the Office of Budget and Management.
Right.
That falls under commerce and trade. And in this modern day time, based on all of us growing up at the times we experienced in our individual lives and now in our collective lives, I know when I was young, when my family used the term nigger, which can be used to classify us as a people too, to make us stand off from anybody else, which is a negative, we could use that term. But when I was little, when I was a youngster, looking at arguments, if somebody called you a nigger, that was a bad term.
Yeah,
but if
they
called you a black nigger, a black nigger, Now, then the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he took the term Kwame Ture, said black power. Then we had the Black Panthers, not the movie. Then we had the Honorable Elijah Muhammad making us love black, breaking down the definition of black, meaning that the origin of God and things of that nature.
Okay.
We had the Million Man March. We had a black, so-called black or African-American president. Under that president, the most public executions of so-called blacks was conducted right before the world's eyes. Out of that activity, Black Lives Matter emerged, and it was an offense to the so-called majority. It was so much of an offense, now the FBI regurgitated the counterintelligence program, and in the light of a black church being accosted and nine people being murdered by a so-called Caucasian, Caucasoid, or whatever you want to call them. Under all of that extremism, a car running through a protest, running over all kinds of people, it got attention because somebody white got killed and things of that nature. But out of all of this current activity, the FBI is looking at us, our reaction to all of this injustice, and they're identifying us as the new terrorists, black identity extremists.
Right.
That's where we're at. That's where we at in the classification of black. Now, getting back to the term, getting back to commerce and trade. We have a right under Barack Obama. He didn't deal with us specifically as black people. He did nothing in terms of any justice towards us. He did more people's choices of sex. He's called the first gay president because he's the one that legitimized the gay marriage thing. So he's more gay.
Clinton got the black president. He was the first black president. We want to stay away from the politics. We want to stay away from all of that, bro. I hear you, but we want to stay away from all of that.
I
hear you, but where you going with this? But we want to.
Here I go.
Because the purpose of all of this is to bond. This is not to like pull apart exactly what's going on.
No, sir. This is like how we're trying to identify ourselves, the best identification of what we want to come out, and we're just like we're basically going back to what we were.
But you're giving us the definition from categorization that has already been, we've already been labeled, categorized, and all these other things, and they can describe us a million and one different ways. What we're doing here is we're worrying about how we're going to define ourselves, how we're going to carry that amongst ourselves so that we can feel empowered by our own self-definition. So I hear what you're saying in terms of what's going on, but I'm trying to.
But we're already black.
So let's just leave it at that, though. So we don't want to get into... We don't want to get into all the technical.
Yeah, but
know,
the hallmark of what I was going to talk about is if we're on our computers, look up SF-181. We have a right to identify ourselves, just as we're attempting to do now.
But I think you're not understanding is we don't need validation from the government or whatever. If we decide to call ourselves purple bouncy heads, the government has no bearing over what we want to do. What we're talking about is in terms of what this organization, the phrases, the terms, the words that we are going to use collectively to go out there forward facing the world to other individuals. And so when we say to them, we're black, black wallets, whatever we say to them, We're there to tell them, and I'm telling you, I am so much leaning towards what Sister Constance is saying in terms of we are the people of color from that were here in this country that endured slavery, the oppression, and all of this. That's what makes us black. That's what makes us black American. I am seriously leaning towards that as the definition, as my self-definition, because that is a right. It's no other person, no other people or no other place on the planet that dealt with what we dealt with here, right? So maybe they've dealt with their own problem. Maybe they've dealt with problems someplace else, but I'm talking about what we dealt with here. So we don't need to go back to what the government is saying or the CDC or any of that, because that's neither here nor there. We're talking about in terms of the organization. Like, are you following?
Yeah. But I'm looking in terms of how are we going to interfacing. I mean, we have an identity, and then we ain't got to the mission statement yet, have we?
Well, the initial mission statement was to the initial premise of Black Wallets Matter was to push the blueprint. This is a financial blueprint for Black America to help itself. Here is the plan, and here's how we actually put it to action. Now, what happened was Dr. Claude Anderson, I didn't know about Powernomics at the onset, but when I found out about it, Dr. Claude Anderson was like, here's what I'm putting out here, here's this book, but I'm not doing anything else. I'm just like tired of black folks. Because he was trying, and what the distinction of this organization is
that we understand some of the challenges, some of the complications with trying to actually, with trying to get our people together, with trying to organize, with trying to do that. That's an old model. That's an old model that it's not going to be very effective, in my opinion, based on data, based on history, right? We've never been able to get everyone to march to the beat of the same drum. But what we can do is we can bring together small groups of people, and the small groups of people can create this momentum, can create the snowball effect. But what we want to do is we want to be focused on the economic base of what our people should be doing. So my overall goal was to find 2,000 like-minded brothers and sisters, get them together, right, so at least we all have an understanding of what it is that we're trying to do. And then we understand that the bottom line is we can't do nothing without the money, without getting real serious about making the investment in ourselves and our people. Like, that was all the thing. Now, I knew that we weren't going to be able to get, like, all 42 million of us. My goal was 2.3 million of us, right, which is a statistical number based on me doing marketing. Like, so you can get, like, a 2 to 3% rate, right? I figured by the time that we get big enough and start having the momentum, we would have enough eyeballs on us, because I knew how to get the eyeballs, so I knew how to get people looking at it. So we would have enough eyeballs on us to have momentum where we're actually doing something and we're moving forward. What I did not anticipate, what I did not know, is interacting with all the different personalities, characteristics, and whatever it is, because my black truth is my black truth, and my black truth is based on my region. My black truth is based on where I come from in the country. And so, and when I travel, right, so I go, you know, I have family in other places in the country, the blackness is like kind of sort of the same. So I didn't really think we would be bumping. I didn't think there would be too much head bumping. When this organization actually started rolling, I'm finding out that there are some people who just really are like, listen, we're not black. Slavery didn't exist. It was a myth. The earth is flat. You know, like all kinds of craziness, and I didn't know this stuff was out there. And so what we're doing right now, those of us that are on this side of the fence, those of us who have weathered the storm, we are trying to find the commonality so that we can, and so once we find the commonality, so what we're doing, these are engagement and bonding exercises, because we are bound to have disagreements, but we have to stay the course. That is something that,
indeed,
brother, right. So Brother George is acutely aware of that. I am acutely aware of it now. And so what we're doing now are all, these are things that I could have never foresaw. You know, this is like on the job training. I'm learning on the job. I'm being honest with you. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. You know what? We got a bunch of folks who, you know, who think slavery was a myth. We got a bunch of folks who's upset about this. We got a bunch of folks who they will let this get in the way of us bonding together. We got, you know, it was just a lot of different things. It's just a lot of different things that I didn't know. And so right now we're just trying to overcome those obstacles and those hurdles. We're trying to bond because, what we have to do this year, we have to start rolling. We have to start getting more momentum. Is how I feel. So, you know, and that's what these exercises are for. That's our Thursday calls are usually, they're really recruitment calls. So for anyone who doesn't know, our Thursday calls are recruitment calls, because that's when we have a lot of fresh new people on the call. That's when we get the opportunity to tell them about what the organization is. I will say this too. I have been very impressed by the support that you all have been coming on and showing with those calls and with to the people on the outside. If you guys notice on those calls, I don't really explain too much anymore, because I only want people like us. That's why we're able to have these calls at this intimate level. That's why we're able to, this has been like one of the best calls, man. I mean, in terms of the intellectual stimulation, the information shared, the bonding, the openness, right? Everyone is really open. When we first started these calls, everyone was all reserved. As soon as Brother George opened up the floor, the freaking queue lit up. That's what I love. Because we got people, you know, being looky-loos, just sitting, it's like, what are you doing? This is the family. We're in the living room. Come on, talk. come on. It's like, you know, we know you, the drunk cousin. We love you. Come on. Come on in. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're doing, and that's what we're getting to, because it's people like us are very, very hard to find. It's not a lot of you where you are. It's not a lot. And so we have to do this on a national level. We have to do this all across the country to find like-minded brothers and sisters. And then it's my goal to make it when you come into the living room, you feel like you're found. You feel like I'm with my folks. That's the goal.
Yes, personally. Brother Lou.
Yep.
My focus is on the finances. Believe it or not, all that I'm saying. We are the most underfunded group of people.
Based on
all that we're dealing with. Now we're trying to move forward financially and things. And the only reason why I'm looking at the color code is because of the level of finances you get when you do what classification you want to do under that federal directive thing. It's not about what they're defining. It's about the game that we're playing. The game is
I get that, but what I'm
not anti-black.
I'm not saying that you're anti-black, but what I'm saying to you is
the funding that we can possibly get. But if we classify ourselves in the wrong way, we won't get the maximum funding that you can obtain in this world if we start playing the game in a different manner. Dealing with the game as it is and not as like we want it to be.
No, bro. I think you're missing the point. I'm not talking about the mission or the collective. We're talking about us intimately bonding. I'm talking about
we're doing that.
Right. So that's the purpose of these calls, of these particular calls. That's these particular calls, and then we'll have meetings where we're talking about the agenda and where we need to do this. But these calls, this call is specifically about you as an individual. Me as an individual, Brother George, Sister Kim, you know, Brother Leonard, Sister Ron, it's about us as individuals being able to connect and understand. But I appreciate that you're remaining vigilant about the task. I really, really do. But you know, this is on a more like one-on-one thing. So because if we can't even agree to disagree or cooperate or organize, then you know the classifications that they have out there for us to get money as a group. If we have no group, then we can't get the money. So it doesn't, you know, that's just how I'm looking at it.
Well, yeah, I ain't going nowhere. I'm with this.
Anyway, bro, I appreciate it. We got brother Lawrence in the queue. He hasn't had a chance to speak tonight, and then we have Sister Rhonda, and then, bro, I'm going to have to go because I got to get up in the morning with my kids. So, Brother Dwayne.
All right, brother, thanks for hearing me.
Yeah, thank you. Brother Lawrence, you didn't get a chance to speak tonight, brother.
Hey, first of all, just wanted to say hey to all the brothers and the sisters.
Hey, bro.
Enjoying this conversation once again. How you doing, Brother George? And as I listened to it, it's something my mind's got me thinking about. I don't know if everyone has seen this Dave Chappelle skit where they've got the black delegation, like the Chinese delegation and the white delegation, and they're voting on who's going to be in the delegation and who's going to be out, you know. So if you haven't seen that, just look it up unless you're not a Dave Chappelle fan. But it's pretty hilarious. But I bring that up because, I didn't really get at first when this started exactly where we were going with this, and then when you said tonight it's about a bonding exercise. And, you know, I said, okay, I see that, and I think that's pretty important to help everyone getting on the same page and figuring out what the, you know, how we define ourselves. And that's what it's all about. And I know I was saying last week, I said, you know, the term black, I say, yeah, sometimes I kind of feel iffy about it, but as a working definition, I don't have any problem with it. But when I heard the sister, I think you said her name was Sister Constance,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
And when she brought up Claude Anderson, and it snapped in my mind, kind of, you know, what you have already expressed, is that we're unique people going through the, you know, my alpha, you know, our Holocaust, and it's different from anything else that anyone has experienced on the planet. And that does a part of what uniquely defines us. And then I also think about when Dr. Anderson, he talks about what's happened over time. Is that term black, as it became through the 70s and you know, especially through the 70s, late 60s, 70s, around the civil rights movement, there was an economic turn as far as empowerment. You know, it's all about black power during that time. And you had programs come in to place where, okay, we're going to make sure that dollars are directed towards blacks as a group. Then, you know, the Southern strategy comes around because, of course, you had those that were opposed to that. Mm. And they said, wait a minute, hold up. You know, if we keep going this direction, then they'll rise in power economically and be a competitive people that we don't want to have to deal with. So they deployed the Southern strategy, which they've done a number of times. And, you know, over time, then you began to see, you know, suddenly people weren't black, we became minority. And, you know, Dr. Claude, he does a beautiful job of, you know, so, and I tell you, that I can, you know, I stick on this point because it's become, for me, something that's really popped up just in my business dealings. You know, I'm starting a business and, you know, it's in the technology field. And so when I go to, I'm here in Atlanta, go to the local municipalities, you know, how to do work with the government and going through that process. And there's a lot of these certifications, you know, minority, women, business, enterprise, disadvantaged business, enterprise, hub zone, you know, this all of, and I'm like, what happened to black? There was a black, right? That you, and they'll tell you, oh yeah, there used to be, but it's gone now. You know, you just they erased it from an economic sense, added in other groups of people. So we all became, you know, grouped with these other people. And of course, our share of even those what was considered the small dollars back then just became smaller over time. And, you know, so from, you know, as you talk about what this all means and bringing together groups of people and defining this and going through the bonding exercise, and I think economically of also what that means is, you know, when you can group and unify, you get a lot of the distractions out of the way that sometimes can divide us. And, you know, then I think the brother was talking about the economics of it. You know, what can happen is, you know, you can say, hey, you know, if we call ourselves black, or if it's another term, but whatever you group together and call yourselves and say, hey, this term minority, that's not really working from an economic standpoint for us. We are black. We have a unique experience. We have been disadvantaged in so many ways that no one else can even attest to. And because of that, you know, we need to have certain things for us, just like every other group, whether, you know, if it's LGBT, if it's women just overall as a group, whatever the group is, you know, you got so many different kinds, and Dr. Claude Anson talks about that. So I think, you know, I really appreciate the conversation. It's so necessary when you talked about the bonding, and I say, yeah, you know what, I get what they're doing now, and it makes a lot of sense. So just wanted to say that I appreciate it, and, you know, we keep it going, figure it out, and then move on to whatever the next steps will be.
Thank you so much, brother.
Well stated.
Okay, and then we have Sister Rhonda, then Brother Cujo. We're going to shut it down. Sister Rhonda.
Okay. Yes, thank you, Brother Lou. I know it's late. We got to stay on task. I like staying on task. That's just me. I'm going to make it short. I ditto what you said because that's what I was going to say, making a statement, is we evolve through others' definition of us all the time. When are we going to be us? When are we going to be us? This is what gets me. We have to stop evolving through what others define us to be. And each category of people that come over to this country, that's why I can't identify with African American or whoever, as my family is diverse. I identify with Black American because throughout it all, when they come, they practice group economics. They come here, they make their money, and they send it back home. They send it back to Mexico. The Africans send it back to Africa. I have three different friends in Africa, one that was from New York, and he moved to Ghana. And they don't care about the Confederate flag or whatever. He shot me a picture, and he said, these kids, people are running around with Confederate flags on the back of their trucks, and they don't understand the concept of what they're doing, and he's trying to make a change there. And he said it's tough. He's trying to make a change. He has a business there. And the other two are from Nigeria. And one is a young fella. He's a lawyer. I write some articles in his African Law Journal from time to time. He's young, I think 25, 30, something like that. But I say this to say, when I asked that other Nigerian, I said, so what do you want? What do you want from America? What do you want from America? Oh, we want your Black dollars. And so like the other sister said, she said something about that when she got some information, she had to change the way she thought. Because when I was coming up, my mom was very active sending stuff over to Africa. My mom was. And I thought the same way. But when he told me that, I had to change gear and realize that people are people wherever they at in their stages of life. And so I'm over here in this raggedy country trying to fight my way out and trying to keep my people together, my people, my children, my children's children, whoever. And you're going to tell me you just want Black dollars? So I had to look at it from a socioeconomic ideology also when he said that. So I said, okay, I understand, and that's fine. Because you can see them all down in Harlem here. When those Africans, they have their side, and the Black guys, they on their side. So that's why I say they practice group economics. They just send it back to their country.
Right.
Yep.
Well said, sister.
Yep, on 116th, they stand on one side, and the regular Black American guys stand on the other side. Yep.
That's right. So that's all I have to say. I want to thank you so much because I know it's 11:03, and I know what 11 o'clock means. Trust me.
All right, sister. Thank you so much, sister. Mm-hmm. Brother Cujo.
Hey, I'm going to be pretty brief with this. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I imagine that I'm stating the obvious, but I think it's worth mentioning. Last week we talked about the definition of culture. And this week we talked about the definition of race. And I think it's obvious there's a difference that race and culture do not share the same definition. And as we're defining ourselves, I think it's good. I just think it's a good idea for us to be aware of this. When it comes to race, I'm sorry, I don't remember the sister's name who gave that that real good definition of black that came from one of Claude Anderson's books. And I think we can all relate to that because it pretty much defines our position in society. Race does. And culture, as you already gave the definition for it, in summation, is basically the common our common belief systems and customs that we share. And in accordance with how we define it. I just think that it's worth noting the difference between the two so that we know what to focus on when. Whether as it pertains to race, we do want to redefine our position in society. And in order to do that, we have to have clear definitions of what our culture is.
Yes.
And the collective effort that we're having, and where everybody's getting to know each other, and we're seeing the commonality. And going forward, I know that we're gonna develop some core beliefs as to what's necessary for us to move forward. And we could develop that common ground. And as far as it pertains to culture, I think this is very important, and it's beneficial for us to as we going forward. It's the distinction of our definition that makes us who we are, so that being black, even if we term it that, it's not solely based on the color of our skin.
Okay. Okay. I like that.
And that's pretty much all I wanted to add.
All right.
I like that.
Thank you so much, good brother Cujo. We are going to wrap this one up. So I think next week... I think next week we can recap on what Sister Constance shared in regards to black, in terms of what that means, in terms of, you know, we have had a unique experience here on this land, in this region, as Brother George pointed out to us with this worksheet. We see that people have different appearances and things like that based on their geographical location. It's also safe to say that they have different cultural traits based on those geographical locations, those different geographical locations. So, although we may, look different or whatever, because of the mixing with whites and Indians and all these other different things, I guess we can embrace our different looks, our different appearance as things. But what we do share is we do share the culture of being strong and having to overcome the oppression, the injustice, especially the legacy or the history of slavery, right? And so I think that puts us all on like a level that all puts us on the level where we all can see eye to eye, agree on that. And then I guess next week we could so we didn't dive too much into the race. Brother George said that was a political construct used by the white man to push white supremacy or whatever it is. So we can understand that. So I don't know if we actually want to touch that and say we are.
Here's what I would like to do. I'd like to give out an assignment for everybody, because this was a really powerful conversation. I was so enlightened by this conversation. I heard some stuff that I had never heard before in life. Every time I do this, that's why I enjoy doing this work, because it's so interesting to learn how people think. And this was some amazing stuff tonight. But here is the assignment. Everybody is to return back to the group call with no less than 10 characteristics
to make black the new black. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But I know you're giving people homework. And I don't know how that's going.
Well, nothing is a requirement. You know, this is all voluntarily based. But you know, I'm putting it up there 10. If you can't get all 10, that's cool. But I want to put it out there so that we can have enough to work from. But the goal is, What is the definition of black in Black Wallace Matter? What do we want that to represent? Because I think that's kind of where it's headed to, what it seems.
Okay,
like.
So essentially what he's saying is cultural traits or characteristics that you, all right, so this is probably an even better one. What are some of the character traits that you would want to see in a fellow member? That would probably be an easier because that's essentially what we're saying, right? So we want traits. We want like-minded common traits that we would want for other brothers and sisters. And we will use that as a working definition, as Brother Lawrence said. I like what he said, a working definition. We can use some of these things as working definitions for the organization as we're growing, as we're evolving. The other thing, too, that I want to remind you,
with the emphasis being black, because black is what we're trying to define, correct?
Well, I mean, the organization, I think we've already established that part in terms of the organization. We would need to, I guess, revisit it and maybe take a consensus and see if someone doesn't agree with that, but we don't really have the time now. But I think in terms of, like, Sister Mai, Brother Cujo, and I mean, until Sister Constance came on and gave that definition, I kind of sort of was like, all right, listen, you know, whatever we call, let's get to work. But that right. definition okay. she gave was really strong, really powerful. What was I just about to say? Oh, what I was saying is that understand that every single brother and sister here is a founding member, meaning you are helping to shape and create this thing. Right. So that's what I said to you. Right. So I didn't lie to you and say, hey, listen, you know, I got this thing all figured out. I know every single thing, you know, the ins and outs. I didn't say that. I said founding members, when you're founding, we're founding this thing. We're making it up as we go along and we're fixing it and building it and constructing it for those who come behind us. So, you know, if Brother George wants to give us homework. That might be just part of it, so we gotta embrace it. So listen, I am going to get out of here. I'm going to get out of here, brothers and sisters. Let me unmute everyone's phone so we can all bid each other good evening. Good night, brothers and sisters.
Good night, everyone.
Peace, love, and unity.